this is my chief worry as a conservative, that we have put so much power in the office of the presidency that someday the wrong man could come along. And I wouldn't be so concerned about whether he could use these powers to perpetuate himself in office, but how he would use these powers to destroy people that disagreed with him.
I am very willing to let the American public judge my physical and mental fitness. So today, I applaud China for stepping up, I applaud Canada.
Government is not our master, it is our servant. Its only power, that which we the people allow it to have.
Liberty Watch is an independent program on KVOI dedicated to the notion that government remains servant, not master, and operating in the public interest for which the media in this country was designed, by exploring controversy. This helps us to resolve our differences peaceably, refining controversy into clarity through investigation, research, interview of experts, and public feedback. Liberty Watch is based in objective reason and is biased towards individual liberty, and so is not the view of the station or anyone but the host, guests, and callers. Liberty Watch operates outside the realm of political correctness, taking no notice at all of race, creed, religion, ethnicity, political affiliation, or orientation, focusing on content of character in eternal vigilance to the free flow of information about government, technology, current events, and our steadfast Constitution. The program is paid, produced, hosted, and operated by Charles Heller, and any mistakes are solely his responsibility.
Responsibility, the topic keeps coming up. I have an interesting thought experiment that I would like to engage in with you, the audience, for this hour. Don't have a guest booked, and it was, I think, provident that I did not do that for a simple reason based on the activities of what happened in Pennsylvania yesterday. Now, the purpose of this program is to engage in controversy with a view towards resolving conflict without violence. The purpose of this program in its nature is de-escalatory. It is designed to give us outlets for our political and our personal expression towards freedom without being vitriolic towards each other. Remember, vigorous, not violent, vigilant, not vituperative. Vituperation is venom. It's spewing hate on other people. This program is designed to be a venue for people to express disagreement without being disagreeable. And so what I want to do, first of all, I'm going to talk, obviously, it was an assassination attempt on former President Trump's life yesterday, very regrettably, and it came awfully close. It came within a half an inch. That's maybe less, came within a quarter of an inch of doing fatal damage to him. And it did do fatal damage to one other person, and two other people were severely injured by the gunfire from that 20-year-old from Pennsylvania whose name will never be mentioned on this program. Okay, for a day, they say the guy's name. He was a loner. He was bullied, yada, yada, yada. And he took out his aggressions on other people. He took out his anger, and he focused all that anger down the barrel of a gun, and he aimed that gun at the former president of the United States, and he did nick him, but he also killed another person and injured two more. And the Secret Service did exactly what they should have done. There's one question, and it's more of an America armed and free question. The man who fired the shots did so from a rooftop 130 yards from the podium where former President Trump spoke. How in blue blazes does an organization as supposedly as professional and thorough as the United States Secret Service? And the United States Secret Service is one of the few government agencies that doesn't run roughshod over people's civil liberties. There are relatively few complaints about the Secret Service, and the Secret Service doesn't just protect the president. There are certain other people that are protectees, but they also protect assaults against the currency of the United States. So counterfeiting is one of their missions as well. So the Secret Service does an important job, and an important job in the government, and It is not an unconstitutional agency. It's been around since just after the Lincoln Association, when the Secret Service was formed. How in the world does an organization like that miss a threat at 130 yards? Now, there have been reports, and I've seen them myself, so I'm not, I guess it's secondhand, but I mean, I've seen reports of people who were there at the event, and they were screaming to the cops, there's a man on the roof over there with a rifle, for two full minutes before he opened fire and fired five shots. That is an amazing tone deafness of law enforcement to what's going on around them situationally. However, I'm not going to pass judgment. I wasn't there. I didn't see the lay of the land. I am going to study it. I'm going to study the whole area. And maybe there was visual obstructions between to observation, but you would think in this day and age that the Secret Service would be, or the local constabulary would be running a drone over the event and not only looking at the crowd, but also looking, especially looking at the surroundings. You would think that they would be looking for a sniper hide. And of course, the Secret Service's snipers were able to take the bad guy out in seconds. And, they terminated the threat post haste. But it wasn't until the guy had gotten five shots off. Nobody should be able to post themselves near the president, anywhere near, with half a mile from the president, with a rifle. That should, or a presidential candidate, I should say. Now, I realize there are limitations to what they could do, but in today's day and age, why couldn't they post a drone, several drones in the area? Why don't they hire some commercial drone pilots and actually pay them in their area to go to an event? There's a wonderful human being by the name of Logan Harding here who runs a company called Shadow Point Media. If somebody needed a drone anywhere in Arizona or anywhere in this region, they could call him up. He could get out, pack his drones, put them on an airplane, and go anywhere they wanted. He's got a drone that'll fly 100 miles an hour. He could cover a lot of ground. And he's not unique. There are people all over the country who could do that. Why in the world are we not employing that kind of security around people that we're trying to protect? It just defies imagination. I went in 2004. I was up on Mount Lemmon when President Bush came in, and he helicoptered into DM, and they motorcaded him up to the top of Mount Lemmon. It wasn't actually the top. It was a little below the top. But in any case, and it was for his Healthy Forests initiative. And if any of you have ever seen Blazing Saddles, where they set up a toll gate in a big wide desert, they put up a magnetometer in one of the areas on Mount Lemmon, and they walked all the press through the magnetometer. Now, I had an experience. I brought one of my Gerber multi-tools because I wasn't going to destroy a Leatherman. And I took the blade out, the knife blade out of the Gerber. I actually ground it out with a bench grinder. I found out later I could have taken it apart and just pulled the blade off. But, oh well. I'm ham-handed with some things. I ground the knife blade out. There was still, and I took the saw blade out. The saw blade was removable. And then I put it in a belt sheath, in a Velcro belt sheath, and I walked up to the lead uniformed Secret Service agent, and I said, I have a Leatherman tool on my sheath in my belt. I want to take it out. And I slowly took it out with two fingers and showed it to him. I let him inspect it. I showed him how the knife had been ground off and the saw had been removed. I said, I need this for the pliers and the screwdrivers to open the battery cases on my equipment so that I can record the president. And he said, I'll approve that. And I said, thank you. I appreciate your professionalism. He nodded curtly, and he said, go to that man, and he pointed about 100 yards away, go to that man right there at the magnetometer, and tell him that I approved you bringing this in. Now, when I was going through it, about three people ahead of me, a guy had a Leatherman Wave, and they said, you can't bring that to see the president. Go put it back on the bus. I walked up with my Gerber in my hand, and I said, your gentleman over there, the sergeant in charge of uniform security, said I was authorized to bring this. It has no sharps in it. I'll let you inspect it. And if you need time, if you need me to step out of the line and get his approval, I'll be happy to wait here patiently. I'm not going to give you a hard time. The man looked, Secret Service man, uniform Secret Service man, looked me in the eye and said, no, if you tell me he approved it, I'll take you at your word. Now, to me, that's a good public servant. I wouldn't have been mad at him if he'd have radioed the guy. Of course, he looked over at the guy, and the guy nodded and said yes. So, but the point is that's the kind of security you want, intelligent security that really looks for threats. Now, the other thing was up there when I was there was the Tucson SWAT team was up there with that was attached to the Secret Service detail. And what the Tucson SWAT team did was it posted all its snipers one was in a tree. I think that was him. I think I saw him. It was a pretty damn good job of camouflage. One was in a tree. Several others were located strategically across the road on an adjacent hill. They were pretty well covering the event had anyone done something stupid. That's what you expect of the Secret Service, and of course, the Secret Service never works alone. If you watched the video of the event with President Trump, what you saw was there was Secret Service SWAT guys on the stage. There were two of them with AR-15s. But also coming into the venue was a local sheriff's department. At least the uniforms appeared to me to be sheriffs. They could have been a police department, but I think they were, I'm pretty sure they were sheriffs. And they had helmets, and they had SWAT gear, and they had rifles. And they came into the front of the crowd to sort of secure the front of the venue in front of the stage while President Trump was still on it. And then they moved undercover with all of them. They moved him to the SUV to put him and take him away from the venue. But that's what you expect. You expect good security out of them. I'm shocked they didn't have it. I'm further shocked that they didn't listen to some of the civilians around them and telling them there was a threat for a couple of minutes until the threat actually became real. I'm stunned at that, frankly, myself. But I'm going to ask you, seeing as how this program is designed to de-escalate conflict by being able to talk to each other, I want you, the audience, to come up with ideas on ways to say things to each other that don't involve verbal violence, that don't involve being insulting to other people. In other words, how do you say something to somebody? Give me an example of something you've done. Whoops, that's the wrong file. Let's try that once more with feeling. And give me an example of something you've either done or something or a way you can say something that doesn't involve insult or profanity in a way you can tell somebody that you disagree with them without undermining, without insulting their soul. I would very much like to have a bunch of phone calls, 520-790-2040, ways that you can say something to get a point across without demeaning the other person. In the Wilkinson Wealth Management Studios.
I'm Oliver North, and like you, I'm listening to Liberty Watch with Charles Heller, Tucson, Arizona.
This is Herman Cain. You'll get some good bargains on the Swap Shop on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice, and have Charles make fun of your stuff.
There's a Bible out that gives you the freedom to be you.
And welcome back to Liberty Watch on this a little bit somber day with the events in Pennsylvania yesterday. By the way, I should tell the audience, never mind the name of the cretin who did this. The name of the victim who was murdered was, let me get this right, Corey. His name is Corey Comparatore, and he had just celebrated his 50th birthday, and he was murdered by the sniper in Pennsylvania who was shooting at former President Trump. So very sad. All right. Over the last few years, the tone of our political discourse, I would say, probably since the Obamianist administration, the tone has become somewhat. Caller, hang on just a minute. I want to finish my sentence.
Sure.
Caller, hang on. There's one in front of you. the tone of our political rhetoric has become much more harsh, abrasive, and, as I like to say, vituperative. It's become more venomous. And it's become less and less, it seems, attached to truth and more sort of inflammatory, senseless emotion. And so I want to talk about ways to de-escalate that emotion. What I heard of the word sure, might this be bunker?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure and yeah. Two words I can hear, bunker. Go ahead, bunker.
Well, you know, two things. First of all, this incident with the bullet changed the trajectory of what's happening now. Had that bullet been an inch further to the right, it would have changed history.
It would have.
Now, getting to your question about how do you de-escalate, that is a brilliant question, and I don't know that it can be clearly or honestly answered. But what I try to do when I'm in a situation like that, because I'm like yourself, I'm strong-willed, I'm opinionated, but I've always respected the other person's opinion and wanted to hear it. In the discourse of communication, sometimes the anger rises, and what that does is it clouds the other person's, or even the person that's receiving it, clouds their perceptions, and you start narrowing your thinking and your focus. What I've always tried to do is not to do that, to listen to them, and instead of finding the points to deflate their argument, what I try to do is to find points that will establish it on common ground and maybe bring us back to a discussion. If not, then I try to honestly and discreetly terminate the conversation.
I try to use analogy and speak the language of the person who's calling, who I'm engaged with. If it's a lawyer, I might use a legal analogy. If it's a person who's a woodworker, I might use an expression about what kind of a joint holds things together. I try to do things.
You would talk cowboy to me.
I would. That's a valid. Or you know what else I might talk to you is I might make an old movie reference.
Yeah.
And I'd be more inclined to do that because I don't speak.
Deflect the argument, so to say.
No, not that. Bunker, maybe I've created a wrong impression. If so, I take responsibility for it. I don't mean to deflect. I mean to relate. I mean in order to draw closer to the person and not to inflame the argument. If you said something that was really, really harsh and cruel, frankly, about, let's say, Trump. Just for this guy, I know you don't feel that way, but I'm saying, just to give you an example, if you did something harsh and cruel about him, my response might be, well, as, you know, I might quote John Wayne or something out of a movie.
Yeah.
Or I might,
a bad choice, because John Wayne was quoted as saying in one of the movies, never apologize at the sign of weakness.
Okay. Well, that might be a good starting point. You know, I know John Wayne said not to apologize as a sign of weakness, but I might have disagreed with him a little bit and said this. That might be a good jump-off point to do for what I'm talking about. Bunker, you've posed a really good question, and there are two other calls on. So did you say you had something else? Did you have a second one?
No, that's it. The second one was my dissertation there. And thank you. And you know what? We do think a lot alike, and that scares me.
It should. I think you're rational to believe that. Right. I would never want to be a member of any organization or have someone like me as a member, to quote Groucho Marx. Yeah. Okay, see.
Either one of us.
Yeah, right, exactly. My swap shop. Liberty Watch. Your first name, please.
It's Bill.
Hi, Bill. Welcome.
Hi. I think that the thing, I know I do it, and listening to you and Bunker, I think that the thing to, the word that keeps coming to mind is perspective, because in heated things like what happened yesterday, like or dislike, love or hate, however you want to frame it, perspective is always a good thing to have in mind. And I think that goes to a larger issue that has been a frequent refrain of mine for many years, and you and I've had these discussions. It comes down to what is actually taught, you know, be it someone that's in journalism, someone that is, you know, in the political world, what have you. The idea of perspective of what has happened in the past that might teach about how to deal with the circumstances today, for good or bad, that's the thing that gets lost a lot when you have these kind of conversations, because whether we like it or not, our system is designed to put forward people to provide a contrast. You can argue about the merits of the system, but the reality is that's the real world we live in, that this system is designed to provide voters, citizens, however you want to frame it, perspective and a choice. And there are consequences to taking the wrong perspective. There are consequences to making the wrong choices. And I think that goes back to what is actually taught when we talk about history.
Hmm.
History is full of really bad people.
Yeah, it is.
Not shocking news to anybody that's, you know, opened any kind of history book. It's also full of people that have done some amazing things. But those hate-filled people and those people that you know, let's call them saints for lack of a better word at the moment,
Or saintly, anyway.
Exactly. They did some truly amazing things at some point in their life, and they also did some probably pretty bad things in their life.
Mm-hmm.
When you're teaching history, if you're only focused on the one side, you're not doing anything to help with today's circumstances, with providing perspective and lessons from which we can glean new ways to do things that maybe improves not only our personal circumstances, but the overall human condition.
Yeah. Learn from history, or you're doomed to repeat it, I believe.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Shocking.
What was the philosopher that said that? Was that Santayana? What's his name?
Something like that, yes.
Yeah. Just amazing. You know, this notion that somehow in the past we had integrity and honor and now we don't. Give me a break. The Bible is full of people who are evildoers. So, wow.
Yep.
Well, the board's lighting up. Caller, hang on, one in front of you. And, Bill, I got to let you go in favor of somebody else.
No problem.
And we're down to the bottom of the hour. And, caller, Liberty Watch, your first name, please.
Chris.
Hi, Chris. You're on the radio.
Hi, Charles. I'm glad that you had the slot open today. It's quite a day after.
It is.
You were talking about how to be more civil in the event of any discourse or
mm-hmm.
you get into it with you. Correct, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I went to Catholic school, and I learned how to conduct myself via nuns as teachers and also influence both spiritually and sometimes a physical influence, Charles, on the discipline. And there are certain things they taught us that I've kept them through life. And if you're gonna, in the event you do get into an argument instead of a conversation, and I'm just saying argument for just to say it
for argument's sake, yes.
Yeah, for argument's sake, I kind of lost my train of words here. A good way to avoid making it personal is to basically, you got to realize when you're talking politics or right or wrong issues with people, sometimes you know them and have something to go with. They're not their idea. They're not their opinion on something. They're
right.
A living and breathing thing. And you come at them like it's an ironclad fact and I will just crush you with my superior knowledge and just you're wrong and I'm right. But you're not going to persuade them.
No, you never will.
You need to do. And then here's how you do it. When you do, because Charles, you know, I mean, my gosh, Charles, the arguments are coming. With each coming month, they're going to get more brutal. But what you need to do is when you do find yourself in that, you include both you and yourself in said argument and everything. And I can give you an example. I mean, for instance, some of the tweets last night, if I could talk to, say, the person who tweeted, Make America AIM Again. Making fun of Mag.
I know.
You have such a dark sense of humor like that, because I was like, that was a good one.
Yeah, it's funny.
But also, it's just such bad taste, and it was right after the shooting on X. I would tell her, in my opinion, the fact that you tweeted that shows that you're not an empathic person.
No.
Something along the line. See, get my point?
Yeah, I
so
do.
That's how you kind of include both people in it. You don't have to go overboard, but it just a lot of it has to do with what you're dealing with, too, as far as what the opposition's going to be. Because, Charles, they'll just degrade you. They'll just take it right to where we're just going to name call.
Yeah.
And they just get that, so – and TDS
that
is real.
That what's real?
TDS, Trump Derangement.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Syndrome.
I know that. So was Bush.
It exists.
Yeah,
it exists.
I know that. People get so wrapped around the axle of their point of view that they can't see anything else, and all they can see is the axle, and they say, you know, life consists of an axle. No, life is life. You just are wrapped around the axle. But one thing I'm wrapped around is the sponsors, and I got to take a break. I'm over. So that was a great call, Chris. I look forward
Charles,
to...
Charles, just to get in quick, they said he was using an AXSR-22 rifle.
A what?
An AXSR-22 rifle that cost $12,000. I just was reading that on a website. That's the speculation.
I believe in the Bongino rule here. Wait 48 hours till the dust settles. And I don't want to talk about the guns and the calibers or any. I realize it's a valid report that you're reporting, that you're repeating.
No, it's not valid. It's just out there. But I figure sometimes these people have these high-end firearms. And they get them somehow, but I really don't think there's any. I was just wondering if you thought it was a decent gun.
I have no idea. I have no time to look.
Well, God bless and Godspeed, my man.
You too. In the Wilkinson Wealth Management Studios, caller on hold. Please be on hold through the break. Appreciate your patience, and we'll be back after this.
Thank you for listening to Liberty Watch.
Sunday mornings, you can buy, sell, or trade anything lawful and moral on the Swap Shop.
Bunker is so funny. Is he married?
Bunker, call back.
It's Bunker, and I'm single, and I'm looking for a rich widow with a large ranch.
I've never even been on online dating. I believe in meeting people the old-fashioned way, alcohol and bad judgment.
She sounds like your type, Bunker.
Swap Shop, Sundays 10 to 11 a.m., right before Liberty Watch.
It's a matter of jurisdiction, the power to speak the law. It's jurisdiction that matters after all. Back in the trial court, you have an opportunity to be heard. It's the adversarial system on display and in the flesh. Just result, the court will rise.
And welcome back to Liberty Watch, where the topic on the table today is how to have civil discourse, especially with someone with whom you disagree, without disempowering them, insulting them, or resulting to the gutter in linguistically. And to that end, we have Harriet that wants to make a comment. I appreciate your patience through the break. Harriet, you're on the air.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say, after thinking back to how I was raised, and I went to an elementary school and then to high school, where we had prayer in the school. We were taught to salute the flag, sing the national anthem at every assembly, and in the morning to salute the flag in every classroom. This stuff has been taken out of the school system. And also, it's gotten to the point where you need two people in the home working to raise a child today. My mother was home when I was being raised as a kid, and Dad was out working and supporting a family of four. It's so difficult today, and we used to have the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, and it's turned into the Republican Party and the Marxist Party. And everything goes to these special groups. I mean, we are in this country first, and have to secure this country. And we have to know our history, because we fought and we died for it. If you go to Arlington Cemetery, you see those crosses and Jewish stars in the cemetery. All the men who have fought and died to secure our freedom. And then the Democrats come, they don't even talk about the country the way it used to be or should have been.
I got
it's
it.
Like, I think what Obama said, they're fundamentally going to change the United States. I mean, what was he talking about?
No, he was talking about the concepts that... Read his book. It's very instructive about that. It's... I think you could have you can figure out people's political philosophy when they have a book like that, and it's true when they really did write it. It is you can figure out who they are from what they write, and that one was called Dreams from My Father, I believe, by Barack Obama, and
yeah, well,
I think he
it's Barack Hussein Obama. Just take the middle name there.
Well, wait a minute. That's vituperative. I don't care what someone's middle name is or if they have a... Hang on one second. Caller, hold on. You'll be next. I don't care if they have an Islamic middle name or not. There's not supposed to be a litmus test in the United States.
No, of course not. But I've been listening to politics for years now, mm-hmm. and it's so hateful. And I always think he was without sin should cast the first stone.
Sin, yeah, right.
I try not to discuss it with some people when they tell me I'm outright Democrat or I'm outright whatever, if they believe in something that I don't believe in.
Right.
You know, and I try to steer away from those subjects, but that doesn't help if they're so dyed-in-the-wool Democrat or dyed-in-the-wool Republican.
Or Marxist.
Yeah, Marxist.
Right. Harriet...
It's frightening, and I pray for this country, and I pray for Donald Trump, and I'm so sorry that somebody took a shot at him last night.
Me too.
And I'm
most sorry for the one he hit instead of Trump.
Straighten this country out this year with the election.
Yep. Harriet, I got to go. There's another caller. I got to let you go. And welcome to Liberty Watch. Your first name, please.
Hi, Charles. It's Sean. Sorry to call twice in a day, but...
No, twice is okay. As long as it's not on the same show, that's fine. Go right ahead.
I've got your plug with me, too, by the way.
That's right. I've been meaning to come over there, but I just haven't had time. Anyway, you were saying.
I understand. Okay. Well, this is just my personal opinion, obviously. I don't force my views on other people. That's part of this deal. You listen to Mark Levin in the afternoon.
Yeah.
If you don't completely 100% agree with him, oh, you big dummy, there's a problem right there. If you have to see, the people that do that are causing the problem. Causation and effect is my job. That's the job of a mechanic. Causation, effect, solution. Politics doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
Because the causation is them. Those people do not respect us in any way, shape, or form, in my opinion. We're being stolen blind. They're more worried about Ukraine than they are about America. I don't know anybody that disagrees with that.
Sean, I don't think that he's the problem. I think he's more a symptom. And here's why I say that.
It could be.
I think what it is he's a symptom of intolerance of another person's opinion. I understand where he comes from with it. He's had tremendous life experience, and his money is where his mouth is. He's the legal foundation that he headed up, that he formed, and gets into lawsuits for liberty, I think has caused him to have an awfully short fuse. Or maybe he gained a short fuse long before he got in the cause. But the man has zero tolerance for anything that doesn't comport with what he believes in. And while I agree it's important to be firm, to deny other people their legitimacy just because they disagree, I agree with you. It doesn't help the problem. But I don't think it causes the problem. I think what it does is adds fuel to a fire.
It amplifies
yes,
the problem.
Yes, we agree.
It amplifies the problem. It amplifies. And on a second point, I believe so many people are stuck in what's called confirmational bias.
Yep.
They basically, to me, and I am not, I took literally 8 months and went away. Mm-hmm. Don't listen to anything. Turn on the radio, and you know what I hear? The exact same thing I heard 8 months ago. It's confirmational bias.
Right.
To a point that it's just the same thing over and over and over, and people hear it every day, and then they purport that as fact.
Right, exactly.
That is a problem.
Let me give you an example of what Sean's talking about. Let's say a person has a point of view, whatever that point of view is. Let's say they believe that the landing on the moon wasn't real. Okay, just to take any, pick any point of view. They will seek out sources all over the internet of various people in various disciplines who agree with them and have evidence that, so-called evidence that they, or facts that, that are counter to the facts that are on the table in terms of the lunar operations on, our lunar operations in this, in the 1970s, 60s and 70s. And so what they're only, and anybody who has some website or something like an astronaut who actually walked on the moon, they're going to discount that because it doesn't support what they already believe. And that's what Sean means by confirmation bias.
Yes. Well, and we've also, I'm just don't get mad at me. Mm-hmm. We've also got a problem in this country with authority bias, where, yeah, where authority is immediately correct.
Yeah.
My personal opinion is whoever was in charge of the Secret Service, they all ought to be fired. If, well, the guy's only 125 meters away on top of a roof, we got a problem.
Yeah, we got a big problem, but I don't know that they all should be fired.
Problem.
There's, Sean, there's probably one or two people in charge of the decision making that probably already are on the carpet. But there is one thing that isn't on the carpet, and that's the advertising on this program. I got to take
absolutely
a break.
Best ads on the radio. Best,
yep,
ads on the radio, and we know who I'm talking about.
Yep.
You have a wonderful day. Great,
yep,
show, as always.
Thank you. Have a good day. And that opens the line for you in the Wilkinson Wealth Management Studios at 520-790-2040. And we'll be right back.
Hello, Perfection Auto Works.
Hey, can you guys replace our 12 Freon in my older vehicle?
What year, make, and model?
Well, it's a 1972 25B Learjet.
Sorry, we don't service Learjets.
Well, I've heard such good things about Perfection Auto Works. I thought you worked on Learjets as well.
You know, that was an actual call to Perfection Auto Works. We service all air conditioning systems on all cars, foreign and domestic. And if we could, we'd even service Learjets too. Keep in mind, we do more than just air conditioning. We do belts, alignments, brakes, and even tires. Call today, 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Hey, Mike, there's some guy on the phone, Elon something. He's asking if you could service the AC on his rocket, the SpaceX something.
Wow, word's getting around.
This is Dennis Weaver, and you're listening to Liberty Watch. You know, the exchange of ideas is so important to maintain our freedom in this country. And Liberty Watch is a show that promotes freedom.
Listen to Inside Track, Saturdays, 1 on KBOI, The Voice.
Hartman Glass invites you to its Gallery of Glass showroom for custom shower doors, tables, and glass enclosures. From boardrooms to an exquisite display case for your valued collectibles, need a glass conference room in your office? Laser measuring for accuracy. 903-0766 and see them online at hartman-glass.com. That's hartman-glass.com.
My heat and air were in a state of disrepair.
It's so hot and sticky, I can't stand this humidity. I'm melting.
Melting!
So you can either check for hot flashes and duck, or call Pixrox Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing.
It's not hot flashes.
We're calling Pixrox Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing right now at 520-492-0748.
Pixrox Cooling, Heating, and Plumbing.
This is JD. Painting works up an appetite, so I went to the Kettle Restaurant on 22nd Street, just west of I-10. I had a steak cooked to order, medium, with wonderful mashed potatoes and apple pie a la mode for dessert. The Kettle has breakfast, lunch, and dinner menus and an ample buffet. 748 West 22nd Street, just west of I-10. Dine in or take out, good country food. KettleRestaurantAZ.com. KettleRestaurantAZ.com.
We can dig our thoughts so many ways. If your thoughts are different, Well, I think that's okay. We should all try to keep the golden rule and cherish our freedom at home and in our schools. Freedom of speech.
And talking about freedom of speech, but doing it in a way that isn't intended to take an emotional toll on the other person. As I pointed out towards the beginning, towards the open of this segment, this Liberty Watch Hour, the purpose of this program is to engage in controversy, not to run from it, but to engage in it. That's the whole purpose of talk radio. Talk radio's bread and butter is controversy. But the idea of this program is biased towards the differences. Is our bias is overt, not covert. Our bias is towards individual liberty. And we're based in objective reality, or at least try to be, or at least auger in that direction, if nothing else, if not achieving it, and not to engage in confirmation bias. I realize that all people fall short of perfection. Except for maybe perfection itself, but that's a different story, right? Even him, you don't expect him to be perfect. You strive for it, you don't expect it. But the point is that we engage in, that this program engages in de-escalatory manner and rhetoric so that we can come to solutions to our problems without coming to use the use of force against each other or forcible rhetoric. You know, I am not sorry in the least bit that the perpetrator got iced by the Secret Service. He richly deserved it. By the same token, had he been taken alive, I wouldn't wish that he were dead. I would think if he were taken alive that we would have a way of questioning him. I'm sure what you'd find out is a troubled soul. I don't know necessarily that there's any ideology, any hateful ideology that he had, other than that he was so messed up that he took out his anger, his problem on other people. And the thing is, no matter how upset or how abused we've been, we don't have the right to ruin someone else's day. I'll give you an example. I used to drive limousines and vans for a while, and one of the things I got sent to do was go to the airport and pick people up. And I would occasionally run into Senator McCain. And Senator McCain had politician face on all the time in public, and we'd say, "Hello, my friend." And one time I said to him, "Please don't accuse me of being your friend, sir." And oh boy, I found out how angry a guy Senator McCain could be. Now look, Senator McCain earned it. 5 3/4 years of torture in the Wallo prison would make any human being lose their sense of, I don't know, padding, if you want to call it that, and could cause a person to become instantly abrasive. He earned it. But, oh my God, did that guy have some boiling anger in him? And like I say, he came by it honestly. I'm not judging him for it. But the point of the matter is that you say things to people. That was the wrong thing to say to him, to the man. That was an error in my judgment. When I said something that was abrasive to him, I got it back in spades and I deserved it. We got to figure out a way to say things to people that don't abrade them deliberately in order to get an emotional reaction out of them. We got to figure out a way to change them. We got to figure out a way to say things in a way. What I've been doing lately is I've been asking a lot more questions. I participate on X, used to be Twitter. And when people say very, very, very harsh things about former President Trump or any principle that I hold fairly dear, I ask them a question about it. One of the people I've engaged with is George Takei from the Star Trek franchise, where the man is an extremely angry person underneath. He was interned in the camps when the Japanese people were rounded up from San Francisco and other locations. And he lived, I believe, 3 years of his childhood from ages 5 to 8 or so in those camps. And he was spring-loaded to the pissed-off position throughout the rest of his life. And he's just been an angry guy underneath. When you challenge people who are angry and you say something vituperative to them, it sets them off. Instead of doing that, why not engage them? I realize you may not change anybody. I realize you may not change. You're probably not going to change George Takei. Or Takei, I'm not sure. I think it's Takei how he pronounces it. But there are other people who listen to George Takei and who are subscribed to him. And when you respond to them, other people see that response. Even when people on the side I agree with Firearms Policy Coalition, for example, sometimes uses a lot of profanity in their posts on X. And I respond to them, is it possible to express the same thing without the profanity? I'll ask people on the side I agree with. And they usually answer me. And it's not a profane answer. They usually answer me when I do. And so I just wonder if there's some way, or isn't there some way, to express ourselves to others without getting a vitriol, without trying to stimulate a vitriolic reaction. If you guys have a way of doing that, I would sure love to hear it. There's still 5 minutes. I'll break the 5 minute rule. 520-790-2040. And if you want to give any ideas on how to say something without trying to crush the other person's soul, I would love to hear it, because frankly, I'm not at my wit's end. I rarely ever am, but I'm perplexed as to ways that we might language stuff that other people can actually hear. To the phones, caller, your first name, please.
Mike.
Who?
Mike.
Mike, please turn your radio off if you'd be so kind. And then it's no problem. I'm not mad at you. So what do you think I'm going to do, be insulting after I just talked about not doing it? That's stupid.
Why not? You have the freedom to do so.
Yeah, I do, but I'd rather not use it in that way. Anyway, what you got?
I got a one-word response and suggestion.
Is it something we don't have to bleep?
No, in fact, it was part of your break at the end.
Yeah?
It was simply music.
What a brilliant idea.
If you remember during the 60s and so on, with all that race riots and everything else, you had Motown, you had some incredible singing. And they were singing the message, and they weren't holding back, but the words, it all came through, and I think it blended people, soothed everything out.
What a great idea. The thing is, I'm not sure if I'm fast enough on my feet mentally to answer somebody in song.
No, I know that's not what you meant.
Yeah, I know. I know that's not what you meant. I have thought about doing a program where everybody answers the other person in song. In other words, you say something and you express, like, for instance, I bend Harry Chapin's words in WOLD when sometimes I do an intro for what I do. I am the Sunday DJ at KVOI, finding all the deals for you to trade, sell, and buy. So I paraphrased Harry Chapin's WOLD to do an intro for... Say again?
Can I make a loving suggestion?
Please.
Don't sing.
Somewhere I've heard that before.
And again, your break ended with kind of music that I think is kind of healing to this kind of a situation.
Yeah, that is John Cougar Mellencamp singing about freedom of speech.
All right, and I'll leave you with that, and I thank you for your program. Always great, especially last week was incredible.
Which, any particular hour? Was it talking about the AR-15, or was it before the, or was it the?
With that lawyer lady.
I'm trying to think of who that was. She was with, New Civil Liberties Alliance, or was she with? No, she was with the other one. Lauren Cihase was her name.
Yes.
And she was from the Liberty Justice Center. She had written, I mentioned a case, and it turns out she'd written a brief, an amicus brief to the Supreme Court on it. Oh, my God. Am I blessed to have this program or what? All right. Well, listen.
You get her on again, I'll call her in, and I'll call in and ask her to marry me.
And ask what?
Ask her to marry me.
All right. Hey, that's a microaggression.
Thank you for your programs.
My pleasure. Have a great day. Listen, always feel free to criticize or make fun of me. That is perfectly legitimate and fine to do. There is no reason not to. On AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice, stay tuned for America Armed and Free.